Good evening, everybody. This is Wednesday, the 4th of October, 2017, and it's 9 p.m. Eastern. Welcome to the Courtroom Observers Call. I was sitting here thinking about what to talk about this evening. And I think that I've come up with something new. Gives everyone something to think about. Now, if we are to live by the Constitution and our constitutional republic, which is common law in the Constitution, we know that we the people wrote the Constitution. And it places restrictions on our government. Restrictions on what their authority is. We gave them just enough power to do the job that we hire them to do. They are our employees. We the people are above the Constitution. Even though we gave these people the authority to do their job, we did not give them any authority over us. We are free to live our lives in such a way that it makes us happy, so long as we are not harming any other person. And I think that's something to think about. You know, that's what makes our nation so exceptional, is that power in America works from the bottom up rather than top down. Well, most people don't know how that works. They haven't had the opportunity to make that work. So consequently, everyone is looking for a leader. Well, rather than looking for a leader, we should be thinking for ourselves. We should be thinking about how to best live our lives in a way that's going to make us happy and not harm anyone else. That, you know, if you think about it, that's not easy, because we have been so reliant on leaders. But here, as a courtroom observers, many times we may be in a courtroom alone, no other courtroom observers with us. We have to think for ourselves. Well, that's good. We need to be able to think for ourselves. You know, different things come up. Decisions have to be made. And we need to be prepared to do that. And I think if people become accustomed to doing their best to live their lives in a way that makes them happy without harming others, we become better people again. We become more self-reliant. We become more confident in what we do. And I think that's very important that we all become confident in ourselves. Doesn't mean that we don't help each other, because we do. We just are more confident in our own skills. And I think that probably is a way that we all need to be looking at everything we do, rather than looking at it later and say, what shall I do? Do a job the way you know how it's supposed to be done. Do it the way you wish to do it, that you know is going to work. Just do it in a way that's not going to hurt anyone else. And it's what I was doing as I was sitting here waiting on the call, as I was thinking about this, and I kind of almost forgot about getting signed in. Have any of you thought of doing something like that?
Hey, Robert, this is Val.
Yes.
I mentioned on another call, last week I went to the, what it's called, code enforcement hearing, which is the probably lowest of all assembly of kind of pretension to be some justice done. And then I took the notebook and I sat with my notebook very visible in front of the, well, maybe not exactly in front of the presiding attorney, who called himself, I mean, he was, you know, in the uniform, like kind of like Halloween. And everybody, there were five property standard officers, and they call him the Your Honor. I thought that was kind of funny. So I sat over there, and somebody came to me and pat me on my shoulder and asked me, did I took the oath? I said, no, I don't. He says, well, so you cannot testify. I said, yes, I don't have the idea to testify. So I was sat over there for about 1 hour and 45 minutes, and I'm making the notes. Basically, it was very easy because he got this same phrase repeated all the time. And there was like 42 cases called. There was only five people present. The rest of them was in the, what it's called, like ex parte. So they jacked up like $92,000 fines. And one lady what came with was, I don't want to speak in the details, but you know, they almost broke my heart. This thing doesn't belong nowhere near where she was. And the the magistrate, he said that, look, we don't want any money. What we want only compliance. This is our role here. And I came straight to him, and, you know, he thought that I'm going to talk to him. I didn't. I just took his name, and I walked away. But he then says, I don't see any cards. You can fill up the card, and you can speak. And I was surprised, because this is my first time after about 4 years break. I haven't been there in 4 years. So I probably will take this opportunity and say a few words here. I mean, later, next time. And I prepare myself some little speech like you when you start this call today. This evening, very beautiful speech, Robert. Very, very small, short and right on the point. You claim who you stated who you are, and you told the other party who you are, yes, you're right, we the people, we wrote it for our government to govern us. We are above there, above everything. If we keep ourselves in the, not injuring anybody. So, a week ago, Robert, you said something which I kind of start thinking, that the government cannot legislate our behavior. And I think when I was observing under this aspect that those code enforcement, property enforcement standard officer, how they call themselves, they, you know, driving around and looking for what they think is not proper in their eyes. And actually, they cite the occupants of the home because the way they behave. For example, the trash can was standing when there wasn't the pickup day. Then the trash can was standing in front of the garage, which is, of course, to those people some kind of violation. That the one number of four was missing from the address on the house or wasn't visible from the street. Such a nonsense. And I think what they do, we have to look at it this way. They violate, I don't want to use the word violation. They deny our rights to live our way. And they legislate our behavior as the crime. I think I'm going to yield.
Well, I was hoping for something like that to be said by someone. I thank you, Val, for doing that. You're very right. No legislature has the authority to make law which controls the behavior of we the people. We are above the Constitution. They are below the Constitution in power. And they are our servants. And so, of course, they do not have the authority to control our behavior.
One more thing, Robert.
Yes?
One more thing before I forget. Sorry, I interrupt you. I just was listening to civic course, and there was the lecture. Like in the case, in my case where I was in the municipal corporation, the lecture said that one entity cannot make the law and the same entity cannot enforce them. Let me go into details. For example, corporation make code code standards for the properties, and the same corporation enforce those laws. This is, I think, another area where when they making the law and they enforcing those, I'm calling this law, which is not, but let's call it law for simplicity. And then they assess the fines, and they make the money. There is no separation of power. That's what I say.
You're
one
right.
One entity should make the, let's call it law, and another entity should implement it or enforce it.
Well, that's the way it's supposed to be. But we, the people, should not be allowing any legislature to make law to control our behavior. And when they do, we should not obey it. And we have let it go for so long that now if a handful of people only refuse to obey an unjust law, they'll end up in jail. However, through education, if a majority of the people begin to understand what their rights are and what the Constitution does, and more people stand together, there's not enough room to lock us all up. There's not enough police to arrest us all. So, in that way, we take back our country. We take back what is right. Because, also, we're not a democracy. A democracy is where the majority rules. We are a republic. And that means that it's the majority of those who participate. And so we, through education, through teaching as many people as we can what the Constitution is and what it means and what it's all about, we can take back our country. Now, we do this through what the MLA is doing. We do it through the Committees for Safety. We do it through living it ourselves. We do it through what we do as courtroom observers. But it's all about living by the rule of law, by God's law, by the Ten Commandments, the Bill of Rights. We live it ourselves, so that others see that we do. We set the example. Whether we are courtroom observers or not, we, the people who know, should be setting the example for others, and in that way teaching others. Just like here in Oregon now, on the 1st of this month, a new law took effect. And it says that while you're driving, if you even touch your cell phone, first offense could be a $260 ticket. It's almost, if you even look at it. But if you touch it at all while you're driving, unless it's in a holder and you just reach to and hit a button to answer and you have a wireless setup or something. But three offenses in a 10-year period and you go to jail. Now, that's controlling our behavior. That's an example of an unconstitutional law. That's an example of a law that we should not be obeying. I mean, we can probably understand why they think they have to have a law like that. However, it is unconstitutional, and we cannot allow that to stand. We must fight laws like that.
That is a bill of attainder. Pain and penalties.
Right.
No injured party, and yet they're going to injure you if you do it.
Yep. So, and that's becoming more and more every day. They're bringing about more things which take away our freedoms. And our God-given freedoms cannot be taken away. We cannot even give them away. And so we must make sure that we stop this nonsense, that we do however we can get this back on track the way it's supposed to be. And so you might even hear these things in the courtroom. May not even have anything to do with the case that you're there for. But you might hear comments like that coming from the judge or the prosecutor or somebody. Write it down on the affidavit. Make it known.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, it's Crystal. How you doing?
Just fine.
I have to go to court tomorrow to meet my debtors because they want to take my house. When you speak to John, I've been trying to get a hold of him. I did send him the information about the MERS, M-E-R-S. It's about 20 pages about how everything was fraudulent, which I also found my mortgage release when it was changed over from Fleet Bank, and that's also known as Bank America, and nobody signed off on it, so I amended those together. I also went to the IRS, and I submitted, I just got the form downstairs, and I'm writing a complaint because who's the one who gets the tax money on all these foreclosures? And I also, when I go back tomorrow, because when she told me, the attorney, the new trustee, I said, first of all, I said, I have some pending cases. And she goes, that's irrelevant. I'm going to see how we're going to rule on this. Which I found out something else, which I will share later on with you. But my appointment's at 4:45. And I said, wait a minute, the courthouse is closed that late. So I'm trying to get some people to go in there with me to document. And I'm also, because on the back of the bankruptcy on the form, it has no due process and proof of claim. So I asked her, I said, well, I would like to see the legal documents from the people that I had taken out a mortgage or a loan with, and I want a sworn notarized affidavit from the individual and also from Mr. GE. So I guess she's going to try to pull a fast one. So she sent me a letter with no phone number on her letter heading, and she said, you just be here. You don't have to worry about seeing them. More or less. Well, good. You know. So I will be there. And I'm so glad. So I send off my affidavit to John and tell him there's something in there, too. So make sure that, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was trying to find the address when I was out today because I hadn't been feeling all that hot. But I said, let me put that in the mail. And I also sent... I emailed it to, April. So this way you'll get all the information. And I got some more other letters to send, so this way everybody can start following through. I spoke to the other attorney who I was, and I said, look, I said, I'm going to, when I go there tomorrow, I'm giving your name and your address. So this way if she tries to pull whatever, so he knows what's going on too. And I also wrote up a grievance on one of the attorneys who settled my case, and they sent it back to me, and they told me they are going to dismiss it. So I had 5 days to respond. So the deadline date was, it's tomorrow. So I sent it back to them. And I said, there is no statute of limitation on a criminal case. And I said, and show me in the book when, you know. So I made sure I sent that off.
Great. I commend you to, for your fight. You just keep on fighting, and that's what you got to do.
And also, the other trusty attorney, the ones that's been harassing me, now they're backing off because I filed the 3 amendment papers with the IRS, the town, and I had everything recorded on my deed. So everything I'm doing, I'm amending it, and I'm paying for it and putting everything on my deed record. And I also, this is what she got upset about. Remember, I gave myself life use of my property. She goes, you gave yourself life use? Yes.
I like it.
So she really didn't, you know what I'm saying? She knows she's going to have a little fight on her hands, but there's going to be some other stuff filed tomorrow. And also, I send the papers off, the other papers that I filed, it's a 3-page, to the IRS, because on all these foreclosures, who has to pay the taxes on the property? And what they've been doing up here is that they've been saying that we abandoned the property instead of foreclosing. And a lot of houses that they write, because it's not foreclosure, it's abandoned. And there's like 4 or 5 cases up here that I came across, you know, people voicing their complaints saying how they put them out their house, and it's the attorneys and I guess the marshals up here that are presenting the people with the eviction, you know. And now when the people go to collect their belongings, whatever they stored, they said, you wasn't evicted. So now they not only did they lose their home or apartment, they lost all their belongings because it's not even documented in the court. And I said, well, you got to follow up. And they're like, you know, but if people don't want to follow up, I'm not doing their work. I just can't. I got my own stuff to deal with, you know.
Yeah. Well.
Because you try to help people, but people don't follow through, you know. And then we said, I'm sorry.
I'm just thinking that, you know, a lot of times they don't follow through because they've been beaten down so badly that they just have lost their will to fight.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm always fighting for people for my education, this and that, parents. So I'll go to board meetings, PPT meetings, you know what I'm saying? But I said, if you don't sit there and fight for your kids or fight for, you know what I'm saying, I will help you. I just, you know, so many people, you go all the way, and all of a sudden, forget it. I'm like, oh, my God. One girl, we won the case. She had a $1 million lawsuit, and she did not follow through. And I'm like, I'm done dealing with people. I mean, it's just horrible.
Yeah. Well, I know what you mean. I've run across a lot of that myself. And
yeah.
It's disheartening for sure.
Yeah, but as I said, that's where, you know, so I will let you know. Because my house phone went dead on me, so I don't know what's going on with this.
Okay. Well.
I just wanted to say, and when you speak to John, because I've been trying to call him. She wants to give me a call, but I did send him something. And I did send them the affidavits, and there is some other good, important stuff. So I just want, you know, so this way he can implement it. Oh, my God, there was something else. I got to send that to you. So I'll get that to you tomorrow. It's an affidavit on fraud.
Okay.
And it's five pages I got to send you. You definitely have to have these. And it's about 1933, the illegal, you know, it's about our rights and all that. But I'll get that to you tomorrow. I knew there was something I had forgotten.
Keep them affidavits coming.
I'm sorry?
I say keep them affidavits coming.
Yeah, but this is one that everybody needs to file. It's the blank one. But I will get those over to you tomorrow, as a matter of fact, when I go over there. But I was trying to get everything out. Okay.
Very good.
All righty, and I'll get those to you. You'll have you because definitely, because like Monday nights and stuff like that, a lot of times I fall asleep, but I want to have used to have this. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Crystal.
Oh, you're welcome. You all have a good night.
Yep. Thank you. Is anybody else have any comments or questions or?
Okay, Robert, I am Val again. I have my own definition of the Republic. It's very simple, and it goes like this. We the people in Republic govern through our electors if they have the consent of the majority. For example, if there is 44,000 registered voters, they must get at least 21,000 plus one vote. If they have not, then we the people govern by ourselves. And if you go to any structure, like municipal corporation, they have a chart. The people always are above. Then it's the five commissioners, in the case where I am. And then next level, it's the corporation, like lawyer, manager, etc., etc. So we govern through our elected officials or directly by ourselves if they don't have a consent of the majority of people who vote. I sometimes think that majority of the population, and my commissioners, I call them fake commissioners or usurpers, and I email them. They know me, and they don't, you know, they like it or not like it. I don't give a damn. But I am a nice guy, and I next email, I call them commissioners. But they know where I'm standing, and they know the definition of the republic and the place where I live. I yield.
Well, you, you're a nice guy. You just carry a big stick. And that's the way we need to do it. And anyone else with anything? Everybody's being pretty quiet. Well, anyway, you know, we all need to be studying the Constitution. We all need to make sure that we know what the Constitution says and how it benefits us. We need to know how it restricts our elected officials in government. We need to understand that the authorities that we gave to elected officials in the government is enumerated, meaning that everything is specifically listed. If it is not listed in the Constitution, then they do not have the authority, you know, it must be listed on the Constitution or they do not have authority in it. Those items not listed is the authority of the states and the people. And most people, they'll read the Constitution through. It's not very hard to read the Constitution all the way through. And then they lay the book down and they never go back to it. And just reading through it one time, you don't even begin to see everything that's in the Constitution. You do not begin to even understand what the Constitution is saying. You must read it all the way through, front to back, Bill of Rights and all. And lay it down for a while, think about it, go back and read it again. Think about it some more. Well, then go back to it and maybe read a paragraph at a time or a one amendment at a time and look for any words that you do not have a full understanding of and look those words up. Know the meaning. Once you've gone through and looked up all the words that you don't have a full understanding of it, you begin to see much more that's in the Constitution than what you realized before. And this is important that you do that. I would even advise, once you get through the Constitution and looking up any words that you don't have a full understanding of, then read it one sentence at a time and look at those words again. Make sure you understand what each individual sentence is saying. Pay attention to punctuation. You miss a comma or whatever, it could change the meaning.
Could I say something?
Sure, go ahead.
Jim from New Mexico. I notice online on the internet, if you type in, say, the 11th Amendment, you want to read it and do what you're describing people should do, almost in 90% of the cases, in front of being able to just read the Constitution, they'll be trying to let me describe to you what this means. You don't need to actually read the Constitution. So people need to be careful about not being, coerced into reading somebody else's opinion of what the Constitution means. And just do what you're saying. Study it yourself. And I think that's part of the plot, from the bad guys. They said, here's what it means. Don't actually read the Constitution. Let us tell you what it means.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I say, be your own person. Think for yourself. Don't look to others to lead you. Be your own leader. It's the only way that you can lead the life the way you want it to be, is if you're your own person. Think for yourself. Make your own decisions. You'll never be completely happy if you rely on somebody else to tell you everything, to lead you through everything. No, and reading the Constitution, yes. Read the whole thing yourself. Don't rely on what I tell you or somebody else tells you. Read it, and read it carefully. Pay attention to the punctuations. Be very deliberate in what you're doing there and reading it to make sure that you miss nothing. And by reading it through in various different ways, 4, 5, 6 times, you're going to find everything. You're going to find all the punctuations, and you're going to find the meaning of all those words you didn't have a prior understanding of. You're going to understand what it really says to you. And the Constitution is written in common, everyday language. There's no legalese or anything like that in it. It's all common language. And it was done so on purpose to ensure that all people could understand it. It was made as simple as possible for everyone. And so read it several times. It'll make a big difference in your life. You'll better understand what's been going on around you. And you're very right, Jim. You're very right. Don't rely on, and I see that a lot, where somebody says, you really don't have to read all this. Just look at this or look at that. You really don't have BS. Read it. Read it all. It's like you should be reading fine print. Understand.
And when you do that, and then if you study further court cases, court decisions, you'll see that they're not actually interpreting the Constitution the way that maybe an honest person would, an educated, honest person in certain areas. And
that's right.
My pet peeve now is the 11th Amendment. I know John Duresh has said that we should scrap all amendments from 11 on, and I think he's absolutely right. And example, the 11th Amendment is describing, I think that was 1788-89, they passed that, so that's a long time ago. It's describing that a citizen of, say, Texas cannot sue New Mexico over injuries, you know, that states have sovereign immunity from being sued. But the 11th Amendment just says a citizen of a different state cannot go into another state and sue it. So, and yet the high courts have said, well, that means also that citizens within a state can't sue their own state for injuries. And I've recently entered that in federal court. I says, well, that's saying black is white and white is black. And I said, if that's true, that means the founders must have decided that people in the future will have extrasensory perception and will be able to determine that when we say black, they'll know 300 years from now we really meant gray or we meant blue. And that'll be interesting to see if I get a response from that.
Well, you've hit on something else that I wanted to bring up and had slipped my mind. You know, as I said, we the people wrote the Constitution. We have the Supreme Court, and everybody thinks that they interpret the Constitution and that they have final say on it. That's not true. We the people, having written the Constitution, are the only ones with the authority to interpret it. Supreme Court just ensures that these laws and different judgments and all are staying within the Constitution. They're not supposed to be interpreting it. But we have the final say.
If I am not mistaken, Robert, there was Justice Marshall, give this to himself in Marbury versus Madison or other case. He said that Supreme Court will decide if this is constitutional or not, which was
right.
There is no such a wording in the document.
Well, yeah, they can decide whether something is either repugnant to the Constitution or it is constitutional. They just can't interpret what the Constitution says. The Constitution does not need any interpretation. It is written clearly. It is written in common language. No interpretation is needed. It says exactly what they meant for it to say. And if it was to be changed, we the people would change it through an Article 5 convention, not the Supreme Court. Okay.
And it's also that nice thing about the Supreme Court, they always issue the opinion. And I don't know
right.
why people use the word ruled or there is the law now. I mean, I understand those guys have probably much more knowledge because this is their job, but it still is opinion. And we as the nice people can you know, appreciate that they work, but it still is the only the opinion. And that's exactly
well, what I don't like about the Supreme Court is the fact that they should not be political. They should not be a Republican, Democrat, Independent, or anything. They should be Supreme Court judge and not have any influence from either any of the parties. They should be totally, you know, immune to any influence. They should be, they all, you know, as it is right now, you have Republicans in there, you have Democrats in there, and they're split. Should be none of that. That's my opinion.
I think you have to consider that is a weakness of the Constitution because they frame that on honest men are going to become president and pick all these justices. And so the let's just say King George and company quickly figured that one out and says, all right, all we have to do is get a president in who's working for us and he can start appointing justices and we'll have it our way.
So it was fine.
That is a weakness in the Constitution.
Yeah, it was fine until the corruption hit.
And the counter to that is if you get corrupt judges, is that's where Congress is supposed to be honest and step in bad behavior and remove them.
Right.
And
yeah, a judge, you know, everybody says that they have lifetime tenure, but they're only there as long as they're in good behavior. So yes, you're right. Congress needs to step up and say, looky here, you're not in good behavior and we're going to have to throw you out.
I think we still have the power to nullify any law we like it.
Well, we the people have the power. We have the final say on everything. We just need to get back to using it.
Robert?
Yes.
It's Jan in Kansas. And
uh-huh.
I don't know how much overlap there is between the people on this call tonight and the ones that get on the one for the Committee of Safety. But John, Captain, I guess he called himself Captain John, he gave us a really good tip on in some training last week about the jurisdictions. And I did go in and kind of start studying that and taking notes on it. It's very, very interesting. And the thing that I wanted to bring up tonight on the Courtroom Observers call is that what's pointed out in the video on that mass action liability is the jurisdictions. And that's what John Durash always talks about, too. But
right.
this Cal Washington, he shows in a diagram some of this is like his opinion, but it's basically, I've really agreed with what he was saying. And I'm breaking this down now even further into my understanding of it, is that there's us, like me standing here, and then there's the city jurisdiction around me, and then around that is the county jurisdiction, and then around that is the state jurisdiction. And the way that this Cal Washington chose to describe it was he didn't put the United States Incorporated or anything like that. He put United States courts around the state, and then he jumped to, he showed another four jurisdictions that were above those four. And those, in my own mind, I don't believe he pointed this out, but in my own mind, I understand those four in general to be corporate jurisdictions. Some of the cities, you know, aren't incorporated, and maybe some of the counties aren't either. But so those are, in my mind, four corporate jurisdictions. Well, that's what we're going into when we're using the courts. But what this Cal points out is that there's at least four jurisdictions above that. And the first one that's right after the United States courts is the jurisdiction of the United States Constitution. And so when we go into the court, and then I'll just finish it, I mean, that part with, then above that he put law merchant, and then above that he put common law, and then above that he put spiritual law, which was kind of what I was dealing with in that thing I read last week, was that I was dragging my situation up into the spiritual jurisdiction by claiming that I had a covenant-based agreement with God for my natural rights. So anyway, but the constitutional, the United States Constitution is in his, and I'd love to know everybody else's opinion about this, but what he was saying is it's in a whole different jurisdiction than the federal courts. And so when I'm taking it that when we want to use the United States constitutional jurisdiction or common law or even the covenant-based or merchant law, that that's where we're getting, he says we get dragged back down into United States courts, state, county, and city, and then we're just, he didn't say it this way, but to me it's like we're shadow boxing because they've got rules that aren't justice, and we have to get up into the higher jurisdictions before we are dealing with justice. So does anyone have a comment about that?
I do. And what's happening there is everybody is adding the corporation, the statutes in.
Yeah.
And in the Republic, in the Constitutional Republic of the United States, no statute is binding on we the people. Statutes are for giving guidance to other government agencies.
Right.
So when you look at jurisdiction, at the top is God. Then it's we the people. And then it's the Constitution. And then it's the elected officials and the courts and all that.
I think what the
stats.
Robert?
And the only way you, excuse me, you can follow or fall under state authority, their jurisdiction, is if and only when they are following the federal constitution. And generally speaking,
they have to follow the federal constitution.
They're supposed to, but they're not. And that's what John Durash says, we're being dragged into jurisdictions unknown. So.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Go ahead, Val.
I watched this video, and my point was not as much, what is most important to me, there was not much about the jurisdiction, but that everything what we do is the contract. And then the contract has like four steps. There has to be offer, then there has to be response, and then you have to, you know, counter offer, et cetera, et cetera. And I think this mostly is the key. And I don't know if this is constitutional or not, but that's the fact of our life today. Wherever we go, We think that we are coming from, let's say, constitutional side, and we don't know how the judges perceive us. So we have to be the party who are announce ourselves, like the Thornton says, I am one of the people from, let's say, from the Texas, and I decree this law. And that's, if somebody else has any quarrel with you, I mean, you can demand the contract, and you remember this, the contract must be signed by both party, because this is bilateral contract. Contract is not, what they have mostly is the unilateral contract. And another thing is, if something is in the contract without your knowledge, the contract is void. And I think this is a pretty good tool. You demand the contract. For example, well, I always say in my corporation, I don't have a contract with you. Show me your contract.
Well,
I'm looking for the government.
Well, they're talking statutes on everything, and we're talking constitution. And they twist around the words and everything.
Yeah, but the key to it, you like to put the best position as you for yourself. So you demand, if you claim the one of the people, and somebody says, "Oh, this is the contract," I said, "Show me the contract." That's what I do with my corporation here. I said, "I don't live in the corporate boundaries. I don't have a contract."
Right.
And I think it's the Clearfield doctrine. If any corporation wants any money from you, the contract must be on the in the court.
Well, I'm going to give you some homework. We're talking about contracts here. Look up the four corner rule.
I know them. I wrote them down.
Okay. Well, but most people don't know about the four corner rule. Google it and find out how they take you.
Well, I'm talking about the argument, and then you see how the other side perceive. If they see when you're talking sense, they start, you know, they are not as easy to comply or go forward because they don't want to teach the people the secrets.
Well, no, they don't. They want to keep us dumb.
But I think the liability, the tape is great, and I share with at least five people. And you can always, you know, write to somebody, I will charge you in 30 days. You'll be liable for, in 30 days, if you don't answer my question, because you're acting outside your authority, or otherwise, show me your authority. I will charge you $1,000 a day forever.
Yeah. That is good.
Yeah, I like that.
And look, and those people there, because they never threaten. They, like I said, seems like this country is like the everybody take the order like from somebody else. Like Robert said earlier, we have to, we have to listen to ourselves. We have to announce ourselves. And we have to be sovereign in our mind first, then physical sovereignty, and third sovereignty is in the financial sovereignty. But first, most important sovereignty, you have to know who you are, and don't let anybody run over you.
And that's what's happened is for too long, we've all allowed government to walk all over us. And now
they have 100 years of advantage of us, and we waking up, and I think internet helps, the programs like the meetings like today helps, but the people go on the Google or Bing, any search engine, and write something. You won't believe it how many things come up. You don't have to believe it in everything, but if you check with the three, four times and you find the same thing, then you suspect that this might be right. I always, whatever I'm dealing with, I always take 50-50 chances that this is, might be right, might be wrong. And then is the process of elimination. If I, you know, either I, now I have a 60-40, 75, 25, something like that. And then I love to talk with the people. And I, you know what, I disagree probably with you because you talk about you have to read it yourself. I took about three different courses from the different people on the Constitution. And then I start the elimination process because I also have an own brain. I start figure out. I have a feelings. Our law is written in our hearts. And we have a, you know, brain. Connect these two. And you see what it's appealing to or what is not. And that's the way I've been all my life.
Well, that's good. Well, anyway, now we've used up our hour, and I want to say I appreciate everybody that's contributed to the conversation. This is the way it needs to be, and this is the way we learn. I have four of these calls each week, and the Constitution, to me, is essential in everything we do. And we have to start helping ourselves. We have to start, being on the calls helps, but there's a lot that we need to do on our own. Just as Val is saying, start Googling things and bringing up information, start taking upon ourselves anytime we have a little extra time. Look things up. You find interesting things, bring it up. But I appreciate all of you. I appreciate all of you on the call. And you people are the power. You know, it might be my call, but it's you people that have the authority. I'm just kind of here to guide you through things and kind of keep things moving in the right direction. It's you people that have the authority and do things.
Robert,
and we need
last
to start
thing.
Thinking about that.
Robert,
pardon?
This is final thing. Jurisdiction. In Constitution, on the land, we have a two jurisdiction, ad law ad, and in equity. On the sea, we have a maritime, and in the military, we have an admiralty. I pronounce this word, but you know what I mean. Never, John says, jurisdiction unknown. I usually don't give anybody rule otherwise because I ask them directly, ad I am. What jurisdiction you dealing with me? At law or in the equity? I don't give them other options.
Right.
And because these two jurisdictions are on the land. And equity is mostly in the contracts.
See,
at
right
law,
there.
I would say, is common law.
And what would you say, Val?
Equity.
Law is.
Equity deals in the contract, mostly corporations, fiction, because corporation is the fiction. It doesn't exist, doesn't have a heart, doesn't have a brain, doesn't have a body. The other one is ad law. That's on the land. On the sea, you have a maritime, and in the military, you have the...
Admiralty.
Admiralty, yes. That's the way I understand. If somebody, if I am wrong, I welcome the comments.
Well, I will say that when you walk in a courtroom and you see what looks like an American flag, it has gold fringe around it. That is not an American flag. That's the Admiralty flag. It's also known as the military flag. And that tells you right there that they're not constitutional.
And you should challenge jurisdiction right there.
Right. That'll tell you the jurisdiction you're walking into.
And the court cannot proceed from that moment forward unless they prove in writing that they have the authority to proceed, and they'll never do it because they're committing fraud. And from that moment forward, they are violating your due process. And that is when you, if this is a state, municipal, whatever court, that is when you don't waste any time, take it to federal court and point those things out.
But sometimes you have to have a fun with the judge. Ask the judge, I give you the option, two jurisdictions, because I'm standing on the land. I don't give a damn about your fringes on the flag. Am I in the law or am I in the equity? You have no other choices. Don't take me anywhere else. Tell me, you have two choices.
And you said you were a nice guy earlier.
Yeah, I am nice. I'm still a nice guy. I give them the choice, isn't it?
But will they tell us? I'm not getting a good answer on mine.
Well, look, there is great tape, that Miller guy, I think. You can find him on the... he said, that's what I am saying. The one lady, he's got the ticket, and she went to the court, and she asked... the exact question what I ask. Judge, what jurisdiction I am at law or in the equity? The judge says to her, you're not going this way, do you? She said, oh, yes, I'm going. She says, how far? He says, all the way to the top. And I don't know what ended later, but I think he let her go. And that's
many times when they got somebody that fights, they'd rather just get you out of there.
That's the Colin Miller on the, I think he's got like 3 hours or 6 hours video, and that is beautiful. This video is like 20 years old, but, you know, it's I love it.
And you don't get a straight answer when you ask about jurisdiction.
Well, then, like the gentleman on this call says, you know, If they don't, the jurisdiction must be proven on the paper.
That's right.
Then you go to the, you say, thank you very much, Judge. I will go to the now to the district court, to the federal court. I don't want to see you anymore.
There you go.
And this is great advantage. Because you don't pay full price in the district court. So I would say even pay little in the state courts, and they remove it and go to the federal courts, because federal court charges like $450 to start the case.
There is case law about not having to pay fees.
Oh.
I've got it right here if I turn the light on.
And that is, as an American, you know.
It's Crandall versus State of Nevada.
We're not supposed to pay for these things. That's more money, the statutes and all.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Justice should not cost us anything.
If you bring it, how to put it, the Constitution says you have a free access to the court.
Right.
You guys want to hear this case law?
No
filing
it down.
Fees.
Yeah,
Crandall versus State of Nevada, 73 U.S. 35, way back in 1867.
How do you spell Crampton?
Crandall, C-R-A-N-D-A-L-L,
okay,
versus Crampton. State of Nevada, 73 U.S. 35. The year was 1867.
I got it.
If you want, I'll read the paragraph, what it says. It's really good.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It says, living as we do under a common government charged with the great concerns of the whole Union, every citizen of the United States from the most remote states or territories is entitled to free access not only to the principal departments established at Washington, but also to its judicial tribunals and public offices in every state in the Union.
You see, he even mentioned citizens. He never mentioned the people. There's another thing. Look, guys. the court, Supreme Court never mentioned people. Why? Because they're smart guys. Because we create this whole thing. They cannot rule against us. So what they do,
that's right.
They choose, well, they're using the citizen as the same as the people.
That's 1867, and what did 1871? They did the Organic Act of 1871. Right. They came up with the Incorporated.
Yeah, so it's like 4 years later, right?
So they don't want to see this. So,
I think the one time the citizen was much more was in par with the people, or even has the better kind of value, I would say. But later they diminish; they will go other way.
Val, you said they use the citizen as the what?
Supreme Court never rule against the people. They can only, they always mention citizen at par with the people. Because it's kind of like, it's kind of secret, but otherwise, if you watch under this angle, you will realize they can, that's what the Robert said in the beginning. We the people wrote it. They cannot rule against us.
When they differentiate between citizen and the people, it's a play on words, and it's statutes. Playing with their fiction.
They're claiming the citizen is part of that corporate thing.
Right.
That's the way I understood too.
I think that when the founding fathers wrote, the citizen was kind of noble, nicer, kind of like, you know what I mean? It's kind of not what is now, not the corporate. They used
dignified.
Dignified. All right, great. And then everything, you know, start changing.
And that's what we're fighting. Well, I'm gonna have to close this call. Once again, I appreciate all of you being here. I appreciate the comments and the, you know, the education you people bring. And so I look forward to seeing you next week, and hope you guys are on tomorrow night's call with the Committee of Safety. I also have the natural healing call at 8 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. So I have two calls tomorrow. All right. Thank you all.